Well, along with the other things that have been mentioned today, as an American citizen, I am very grateful for the men and women who gave their lives for our country as well. Memorial Day, it actually was called Decoration Day, and it was born out of the Civil War, a horrific war that we as a nation endured, and to celebrate and to remember those who have fallen in battle. And then in 1971, it was made a holiday, Memorial Day, to recognize all those for all the wars. So we certainly need to do that and thank the Lord for the freedom that we have. But in the midst of that, and I've shared this a little in times before, I don't know about you, but I'm very concerned of where our country is. And I'm going to make some pretty bold statements as we walk through some of the teaching today. But you need to know this, and this is all through the Scripture. Since the fall of man, since Adam chose to disobey God and believe in his heart that he knew better, man has tried to govern themselves. All nations believe they can govern themselves without God. And I'm here to tell you that is an impossibility, because all men and women in leadership are sinners. And unless we come to that place to recognize what the living God has done for us, has redeemed us, has made possible for us sinners to become saints, we will never, ever be able to govern ourselves. It was mentioned today, with justice and righteousness. The psalm says they're the pillars of God's throne. Justice and righteousness. And only God can rule that way. How many have read the end of the book? There's one coming with written on his thigh, truth and justice. I'm looking for that day. But I'm very concerned, not only for our country, but for the church. There's a lot of things going on in the church. And the Bible says in the end times, there will be a falling away. Matthew 24 even says it this way. There'll be deception that could come upon all, even the elect, those who have been chosen, those who are in Christ. It's possible to be deceived. And I want to encourage us today, we need to be men and women of the Word. I'm going to challenge us to really begin to step it up, because we're living in crucial times. What in the world is going on? Daniel told us in the last days, knowledge will increase and people will go to and fro. The travel will become incredible. I'm looking at a new model now of a drone that has four big blades on the front and back, two in the front, two in the back. Looks like a motorcycle. You can sit on it and fly it like a helicopter. That's where we're coming to. No way am I getting one of them. The technology is incredible. 30 years ago, at the age of 10, they diagnosed my daughter Jamie with Stargardt in her eyes. And what that means is the center of her retina is all clouded. She cannot see out of that. She only has peripheral. And we were told back then, when she was 10 years old, that it's impossible for anyone to replace the retina. Millions of connections, nerve connections, that God has created, and it was too difficult. You know what they say now? Maybe 2 years away, that they can change the retina. My daughter just cried. Is it possible? She's even scared because she lived her whole life. And my son, Stephen, my two younger, have this condition. But technology may be able to cure that. They're working on cancer. Incredible stuff that's going on. Good stuff. But man is using it for evil, and God intends it for good. I want to read you an article here from the Intelligencer. It's a local newspaper in Montgomery County. This was back in August of 2016, and the writer, the editor, the reporter, Jeanette Williams. Here's what she says. I'm just going to read a portion of it. Doing what feels right, destroying our culture. Since the 1960s, we've been hearing, if it feels right, do it. In 2008, Oprah Winfrey told a graduating class of Stanford, feelings are really your GPS system for life. Whatever it feels good, go that way. But where has this led us? Because it's right, if it feels right, men who feel like they were born the wrong sex can use women's showers. They call themselves transgender. And because it's right, and if it feels right, people who want to be disabled can chop off their limbs and try to have spines severed. They call them transabled. And because if it feels right, people who feel like they were born the wrong species can have themselves medically altered to look like dragons or other creatures. That's called otherkin. And because it feels right, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, freckle-faced girl with white parents can decide she is black. Rachel Dolezal, former president of the NAACP. And what else were people trying to accomplish? Google, New York Times, pedophilias deserve civil rights. Google, B4U Act, a site seeking legislation to make pedophilia legal. Google Times magazine says, shouldn't incest be legal? The idea that whatever you feel like is okay has led us to this total social chaos. And those of us who reject new directions of marriage and truth are being persecuted. I guess freedom only goes one way. These are some things that are happening in our culture. I don't know if you heard this. It's been around for a little bit now. People are marrying themselves. And it was just on the news on Friday. There was a woman who married a train station. I kid you not. She hugged the pole, had her pictures taken. The surprising thing for me, the incredible thing for me was the reporter and the two others that were reporting it started to laugh. And then he said this, "Whoa, I better not laugh. I may lose my job." You know, it's insane. But let me share a few others with you, and then I want to share some good things as well. I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the early 1900s, the Federal Reserve was created. The Federal Reserve controls the money and the standard for U.S., and it's not even a part of this country. Blows me away. My main idea, and it started from a guy from Germany, they want to control the banks so they control the money. You control the money, you can rule a lot of things. We are now in our government, as the scripture says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The Democrats, the Republicans, the Libertarians, wow, there's hatred in those who lead our government. It cannot last unless God intervenes. There's a new world order coming. It started early in the 1900s. FDR was a part of it, and most of our presidents. Gang, it's coming. One world government. I don't know if I'll see it in my lifetime, but I believe I will. That's my personal conjecture there. When you read the scriptures and you understand where the one world government will lead, it will be led by God's allowance, by the Antichrist, through Satan. What in the world is going on? Hopelessness and fear. what a wonderful opportunity we had to support the school two Saturdays ago in the walk to support the families that endured suicide. I don't know if you saw it or not. The paper they had was "Out of Darkness." Wow. The world understands we're living in dark times. Our kids are being taught, whatever feels good, do it. It'll be okay. And according to this article, it's brought about chaos. Oh, young people, don't get sucked up in that. God's word is so beautiful. There is hope for this world, but only in Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. Here's a good thing that's happening in the world. The gospel is spreading incredibly. You don't hear about that on the news. You got to go underground. You got to talk to Jerry and Serge what God's doing. India, God's doing amazing work there. China, probably the largest church in the world. Brazil has had a revival in the past year. Past years. The Islams are coming to Christ by the thousands, and it's costing them big time. We are watching that on the news of the persecution of the Christians in these countries. But God's message is getting forth. And I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. It is the most important agenda for you and I that know Christ. Christ's master's plan is going to come forth, and his plan is redeeming people to himself. Lost people, sinful people, broken people. And we need to be part of giving out the message. Here's what we say here at Hope: where we work, where we live, where we play, be Christ. God will do the rest. So here's what I want us to think about in these next 15 minutes. I want us to understand what the enemy of our soul is. We have got to concentrate on that. We have got to be intentional. I thought about this. It's not the best illustration, but it comes across pretty good. When Wayne and I, 9 years ago, wanted to get a house that didn't have 23 steps to get in the front door, and now we have a 6-inch step in. She also wanted a garage to put her car in. I don't get to put my truck in the garage. When you pull into the garage, you have 3 inches on either side with the mirrors. Chick smashed the one mirror, the last car. My wife smashed the other car that we just got. Scraped it. We have to be very intentional when we pull in out. We have to be concentrating. Once the mirrors get in, then there's a little bit of space there. You have to pull over to the right so you can open the door to get out. It's tight, but it's doable, and she doesn't have to shovel snow in the winter. That she loves. But it's intentional. We have got to keep our eyes through that little slot as the car comes in the garage. Brothers and sisters, you and I have to be intentional on what it means to live the Christian life today. I want to share some of these things with us. We want to be aware of the world. Now, let me define Sean, you can put this up there. 1 John 2:15. Here's what John tells us through the Holy Spirit. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, listen to this. Love for the Father is not in them. Now let me define world here, because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Is this the same word? It's the same word, cosmos, but that word is used 8 times in the Greek in different ways. Let me share with you the passage here, what God wants us to understand about the world. The world, cosmos, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, which although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir desire to seduce us from God and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. God doesn't want us hooking up with this world. It has nothing for us to offer. And yet, we're susceptible to that. The world is screaming at us, and I read some things from the article. What the world is saying is okay to do. It's not okay. It's sinful before our God, and it's causing chaos, emptiness, fear, and hopelessness. We need to be people that are in the world, but not of it. John 16:33 says this, "In this world there will be much tribulation, but take heart, rejoice," Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." He's our overcomer, as you prayed, Brian. In Christ, I can overcome the world. Galatians 5:17. Another enemy I have, the flesh. Let me define that. The Bible shares that the flesh can be also said as this way, the natural man, the sinful man, the heart, the carnal man. You see, when I'm born, says the scriptures, in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm born a sinner. And the moment I sin, and if you have little ones, you can see how they sin. What's one of the first words they learn? No. Rebellion. Also, mine. Selfishness. The human heart is desperately wicked, says Jeremiah. And, I love this part, uncurable. Our sinful hearts, our sinful state, our carnal nature, I am born helpless before God to live for Him and please Him. But here's the good news. But Christ came. He's called the second Adam. Christ came and lived the life the first Adam couldn't. Overcame temptation. Lived a perfect life. And as we're going to have in a few minutes with communion, died for our sins so that by faith in what Jesus Christ done, we are resurrected to life. Our soul was reborn. It's fantastic what God has accomplished. You don't have to be separated from God anymore. Christ took care of that. In Galatians 5:17, it says this, "For the flesh, my carnal nature, my sinful nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit of God." That's why I'm hopeless without the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Am I reading that right? So that you are not to do whatever you want. In other words, my sinful nature, which I still have even after Christ has given me new life, is still there wanting and desiring my own stuff. But my new nature, the Spirit of God is in me, telling, fighting for me, live my way. That's where life is at. This is death. The Spirit of God is life. You remember when Dr. James Dalzell taught on Romans 8? We have been given life. And the flesh is constantly speaking to my heart and mind. And I need to crucify it. Big King James word, to mortify the flesh is what I'm to do every day. I'm to be that intense. When I wake up, I want to practice saying, "Lord, there's no way I can live this day pure and righteous without your Spirit. And I submit my life and rule to him. And what does he do? That's the desire of God's heart. He will control our lives, give us the power to overcome all the temptations of life. Do I fall? Absolutely. The cross, I can confess that. But in Christ, I have the power to overcome. Here's another enemy, the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. You catch that? Remember Mike Singleton of the Chicago Bears? You girls probably don't know him. Defensive center. Man, he was checking out everything. He knew what the plays were going to be because he was so intent. We need to be aware of the devil's schemes. Girls, you've had a whole spring studying in the Bible studies and even your retreat on the armor of God from Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our main battle is not mankind. They're enslaved to sin. They can't help themselves. Satan is behind the scenes, stirring it all up. Our study in Daniel in the Saturday Bible study this year was very interesting as we ended the book. Jesus, who came down, I believe Jesus, who came down to Daniel to share a vision with him, told of the prince of Greece that is coming and the prince that was in Media Persia where Daniel was at that time. It tells us that the evil one has princes working behind the scenes in nations. We need to pray and learn how to pray for what the evil one is trying to do. Let me say this about Satan. He fell from heaven because he wanted to be God. Still does. And he hates everything that God wants to accomplish. And he counterfeits everything that what God has already done and is doing. And we need to be aware. But hallelujah, greater is he that is in the world, the Holy Spirit, and the who lives in me, than he that is in the world, Satan. We are more than conquerors. We can overcome the evil one in Christ, and only in Christ. Don't take on Satan by yourself. Every day, put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to defeat him. Then I want to end with this understanding, because we have enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil that are out to destroy us. But Isaiah 40:10, we have a sovereign God. We have Isaiah 40. It's coming. All right. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. Does this sound familiar? If you know the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes the second time, and that may be soon, he's bringing his reward. We need to know this. God is at work, and he will overcome everything. I don't understand all the things that are happening in this world. The evil, it's horrendous. But God is going to use that evil for good. And the ultimate good is that people will come to Christ. People will understand and turn to an eternal God who has the ability to forgive them through Christ and the work on the cross. I want to encourage you this way. We want to fight the battle. We want to be aware of the enemy, this world, the things that they're accomplishing and trying to do. My own flesh, Satan, and how he's trying to defeat God, but he won't. And my power for life is in Christ, the one who conquered everything on the cross It is finished. It is accomplished. I've conquered death and sin, and it's ours to have as well. I say hallelujah for that. Let me encourage you in this way, and I want you to really be men and women of the Word. As you and I read this Word, it says over and over that God is sovereign. What do I mean by sovereign? The word means this: highest or supreme. There is no one more powerful than Christ. And when I put my trust, when I grow my faith in a sovereign God who has every detail of my life planned out, and I submit to that, then I can believe, I can say to God, Lord, allow it to happen because I want to bring you glory. Is that what you're living for? God's glory? Or are you getting caught up, as I can get caught up, with the world and the lures that it has for us? God is going to win. God has already won at the cross. And every day, you and I can be victorious because a sovereign God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Peter 2 says this: I have given you everything you need for life and godliness. Oh, that we would see where the victory lies. Oh, that we would know that it's vicious out there. And apart from Christ, I'm going to fall. And we want to come today and be reminded again where our victory is at. Our victory lies at the cross. And I want to say this. If you're here today and have never simply believed that Christ is the only answer for life, you need your sins forgiven, and it's only at the cross. And I say this with much love and much trepidation. Without faith in the work of Jesus Christ, you will be separated forever when you leave this world, when you die physically. So here at Hope, we just cry out, don't leave today without recognizing that Christ has paid for your penalty and my penalty for sins. And if you don't understand that, tell Him that. God, I don't understand. Give me the faith to believe that. Because here's what happens. Here's what salvation is all about. Repentance, going away from God and getting to the point that I need to turn to the light and not the darkness, and Christ is the light, and then believe that Jesus paid fully for all of my needs. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. Those of us who are in Christ, rejoice. Get serious about life because the cross has accomplished it. If you've never made that decision, if you've never believed that Jesus is the Son of God and came to die for you, you can do that in a moment. Tell God, I believe. If you haven't, God encourages us to let the elements go by. We're going to pass out the bread, the cracker first. Then we're going to come, pass out the element of juice, and then we're going to take the communion together. Use this time, wherever you are in life, to speak to God, cry out to Him. He's a God who saves. He's a God who loves, provides, directs. Father, we thank You for Your master plan of redemption, where sinful man has said no to You. I'll do it my way. And You have said, it won't work. I will do it my way. My will be accomplished in Christ. And we thank You for that. Every believer around the world wants to thank you daily. We thank you for our salvation because it is great. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand up and let's rejoice.